This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands up.
But it's not.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
I'd like to start off tonight's very special ENN by saying good evening to Michael.
I love truth.
And good evening to Don.
So I decided to try to choke him out.
And good evening to Don again.
He is a friend of the fat.
And lastly, good evening to myself. It's a full day, but it's not K. Oh, and one more time, good evening to Michael.
I'm a truth spitter.
A lot has happened on the program, including our conversation with Bob Sala, who worked all of us. Michael asked what Wilson's status is for this weekend.
All right, so are you going to go by the decision of discretion is the better part of valor, and it's better to sit him down and just have Joe Flacco play the game, or if he is in fact ready, that you want him out there?
Yeah, I'm going to stand by what we talked about. You know, it's if he feels 100% and everything checks out, he's going to play. So all depends on tomorrow.
Mr. Miyagi.
It depends on what happens in bed tonight.
Oh, Miyagi!
That's what you think? You think Sala tonight's going to go full Miyagi and give him, like, the hot hand rub on the muscle?
Well, listen, I don't know if I said it's that
it's
way.
It's his knee. I don't think he has to go near the muscle. That would be too much.
Wait, excuse me?
It's his knee.
Right. The knee area, the knee region.
There's no happy organ involved. It's all about the knee. And do the Miyagi, and that's what he's holding out hope for. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Now, I got to tell you one thing. I don't know if you guys agree with me. A guy that we all love, Mark Canizero.
Sure.
Wrote that no matter what, you've got to start Flacco. I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah.
If in fact, Zach Wilson is healthy, then you start. If he's not healthy, I get it. Then you do start Flacco. But it almost seemed like, you know, just let him sit this game and watch. No.
No.
This year is all about Zach Wilson.
But what's the logic he's using? Is the logic about winning the game, or is the logic about protecting Zach because he won't be ready to come back and jump into full speed?
I think it's the latter. And if he's not 100%, then don't play him. But I think he made it seem like just give him one more week, even if he's right. No. And I couldn't believe that Sala didn't answer the question that no matter what, even if Flacco comes out and goes 4-0, it's got to be Zach Wilson's job.
I didn't like that answer. I'm glad you brought that up. Because if he's your quarterback.
He's your quarterback.
He's your quarterback. And the best thing that can happen to Zach Wilson is to play. Right? He didn't get to play a full season last year. And when he did play, let's be honest, it wasn't good. He was outplayed by Mike White. So now he's entering his second year. They got him a bunch of weapons, an upgraded offensive line, and now he's got to play. Now, it doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday. There's 16 other opportunities. He's got to play. They've got to find out what they have. Because believe it or not, Michael, before you know it, that fifth-year option's going to come up, and you're going to be in the same boat you were with Sam Darnold, the same boat the Giants are in with Daniel Jones. He's got to play. You got to find out what you have. If every time Flacco plays, it's a detriment to their future quarterback. Because Joe Flacco's not winning you a Super Bowl, Michael. He might win you a couple of games and help you out. But in the long run, you got to find out what your quarterback can do.
And think about it. When the Giants finally forced Eli into playing, Kurt Warner, who had won a Super Bowl and was headed to the Hall of Fame, was actually playing pretty well. And it was the first year of Eli's development. They had to get Eli in. Don's right. This is year two. You have to make decisions at the end of year three about what you're doing with that fifth year. He's got to play no matter what the record is.
Dan Graziano on KJM earlier says he doesn't expect Wilson to play Sunday.
They are not going to put him on the field until they're 100% sure that knee is all right. If he has to miss a game or two, that's okay. If he has to miss 12 or 15 games, that's a disaster. So I still think it's most likely to be Flacco, and we'll probably find that out for sure here in the next couple days. And maybe it's possible. Maybe he's making good progress. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to play early in the season, but I'd be surprised if it was this week.
Well, let's put it this way. If he's 100%, he should play. If he's not, he shouldn't. It's that easy. But if it's 100% and he does, and they don't play him just because they're being careful, that's bad.
But I didn't love that answer from Sala when I painted the
no,
scenario.
No, I didn't like it either.
What if Flacco goes out?
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Well, but it shouldn't be a problem. The answer should be when Wilson's healthy, he plays. He's our quarterback.
Automatic answer.
So now you've created, and I'm not saying he did it intentionally, but now what you kind of stir up is there a quarterback controversy? Now, I don't expect them to beat Baltimore, but let's say they do. Well, then I would think the Jets would be able to beat Cleveland without Deshaun Watson. So now you're 2-0. So now you got to play him in week – now he's missing opportunities to play. Now, what Dan Graziano says makes sense. You don't want to play him unless he's 100% because you don't want to hurt and damage his chances later in the season. But when this kid's healthy and ready to play, he plays. I don't care what Joe Flacco does. Period. Joe Flacco is not your future.
We're all on the same page, I think.
Guys, let's move on from the Bob Sala of it all, if you will.
Shall we?
So you call him Bob now. You're very comfortable with just Bob.
Yeah, well, we spent time with him at camp. You know,
that means you could call him Bob?
No, you missed some stuff over the summer. It's Bob Sala.
Right.
It's the ball player. Do never say Starling Marte. I don't know what you're talking about. He's the ball player.
That's it. He doesn't need a name.
There's Donnie Baseball. There's Teddy Ballgame. There's the ball player.
Have you seen the ball player's back yet? The picture I told you about.
I'm not interested.
Let me see.
You're not interested in that and in Harry Styles. Great.
Well, he's consistent. Let's see.
It's under his Twitter handle, Starling Marte.
Starling.
It's a thirst trap. It's a suicide rap.
So this is the stuff that made A-Rod a bad guy, but everybody else can do it and it's fun.
I don't see it.
I just want to get that right.
I don't see it on Starling's page.
Oh, come on.
I swear, it's not there.
Well, maybe he took it down.
His last post is from January 19th.
There's no way.
It's his announcement coming to the Mets.
They had to have taken it down then. Marte.
Yeah, maybe they didn't want the first trap there.
I can't believe they took it down.
Well, maybe he didn't look at the picture. Maybe there was something else going on there.
All right, okay, I found SNY still has it up.
Okay.
You mean him shirtless with the towel?
Yeah, looking out the window.
Oh, wow, and a delicious plate of pancake. Oh, that breakfast he's got looks incredible. I mean, it's not that crazy a thirst trap. It's just you got to be really into – I mean, he's in beautiful shape. The man is a gorgeous man.
It's a thirst trap. That's all it is. Why would you take that out?
It's not a crazy thirst trap, though. It's an interesting, you know.
When is it from? I don't even see it on SNY.
Here, Don. I'm going to send it to you right now.
Yeah, I'd like to see this. Just to find out why – again, I'm not trying to be Mr. –
There you go.
A-Rod defender. He's shirtless in Central Park, and he's a piece of human garbage. Right? No, I'm not honest.
Peter, also, if you have it on an iPad there, take a close look at the gunk that he has on the pancakes.
Oh, yeah. That's why I love him. This is my kind of guy. He's enjoying it.
There's a lot of ointment there.
Oh, it's butter. It's syrup.
It's blueberry syrup, I think.
And, I mean, look at the size of the sausage that he's about to consume. My God. Two of them. Two of them. Oh, yeah.
Very, very busy morning.
Do you see it, Don?
I'm just punching it up now. Peter sent it.
Obviously, Don has dial-up.
No, he's pulling off his word processor, Michael.
No, come on. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do a show here. Really, the breakfast is honestly way more impressive.
Well, yeah, because you're not attracted to men. I get it, but it's a thirst trap for women.
No, well, I'm going to we've already, you know, ESPN's a rumor at this point, so I'm going to just keep going.
I like a lot of guys.
He was entertaining. That's not all for him. Somebody got a nice breakfast.
Well, somebody had to take the picture. You're right, Don.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the Marte equivalent of the Jeter gift basket.
Was Derek denied in the?
You know, I know he did. He could deny all he wants. I'm just saying that it's out there, and I'm just saying that I guess he, for the women in his life, they're guaranteed a really nice breakfast.
Did you, Don, like the Derek K-Rod appearance?
Yeah, it was solid. I don't know. Jeter has not come off great to me recently.
Go ahead.
Wow.
No, I don't think he came off great in the doc. A little too much trying to be Jordan, you know, and I don't know. Stop already with the whole Riley. What A-Rod said wasn't that bad. Give me a break. Make it seem like he said awful things about him. I mean, first of all, it's 20 years ago. Can we get over it already? I don't know.
But the fact that he showed up, that was on.
Listen, I thought that was great, and it was great television. I'm just saying that. I don't. You said it yourself about the documentary. I don't think he came off great.
No, he came off as like he has things that bother him, and he complained about things. And I look at Derek, and I say he has had one of the great American lives.
Yeah. I mean, just to make the rivalry between him, he's the one that's kind of keeping it alive. A-Rod's done everything to kind of patch everything up, and Derek still. If the fact that he's still put off by that to me is a little much, don't you think?
You know what? He holds a grudge. We showed the Sports Illustrated cover with the shorts out without the shirt, which he wasn't pleased about. And Derek said, that was the last shot. I didn't want to do it. They convinced me to do it. And then Alex just chimes in and goes, yeah, no one wanted to do it. It wasn't a real big hit. And then I took it a step further and went on a rock in Central Park. He knows how to make fun of himself.
Yeah. It's just weird that I guess it's a different time, too, but – like the things that become so negative, the comments to Jeter, the shirt off with the, but when you look at it now, Michael, with athletes do, and is it that big of a deal? The things that athletes say about each other on podcasts and the pictures that they just send out on social media, you just wonder, like, boy, Alex was just born at the wrong time.
Now I do have to tell you one quick inside story with it. So when we heard that Derek was going to be on the show, we thought it was going to be for an hour and a half. Like three innings.
Okay.
And then like 2 days before the show, we're told, both Alex and I, it's a 35 minute hard out. That's it. And like I was chapped because I thought we could really, you know, do it.
Yeah. Well, with an hour and a half, it gives you time to like settle in, get comfortable.
But Peter, 30 minutes went by and I said, I got nothing else. Hey. Derek just doesn't expand on stuff. He just, right. I said 30 minutes. He knew 30 minutes was perfect.
No, that was perfect. And also, the game didn't help. I mean,
goodness. Fastest game of the year.
I mean, Joel Sherman couldn't get on. I never seen anything like it. You had the, what was it, Trot Nixon? Who would you have on at the end?
Kevin Youkilis.
The game was over.
Yeah.
You were at the beginning of the interview, and you had another interview to go. Yankees, Red Sox, you think you're good for at least 3.5 hours.
Yeah, it was like two and a half hours. It was unbelievable.
It was incredible how quick that game went.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, what did not go quickly was Friday night's Serena Williams match. It was the third round. Serena had won the first two rounds, in the second round beating the second best player in the world, second ranked player in the world. And I was in the house on Friday night, guys. It was an incredibly interesting and tense experience. Let's hear from Serena Williams saying afterwards, it's been a fun ride.
It's been a fun ride, and it's been the most incredible ride and journey I've ever been on, I mean, in my life, and I'm just so grateful to every single person that's ever said go Serena in their life. I'm just so grateful.
If you went to that match, Peter, you must have had just great seats.
No, you'd be wrong. And
so
you were
in the LaGuardia pattern?
Basically, let me put it this way. In my seats,
if the Mets don't win the National League,
I was able to like turn around and keep my eye on the Mets game. Okay?
Wow, that high.
Yeah. I was at the top of the stadium, but it was absolutely worth it. And a lot of people gave me a hard time. I thought you liked to sit in good seats. Listen, I'm not a lunatic. There are certain events, you're taking the seats that come your way. I wasn't going to miss it.
Where'd you get these seats?
My friend Joel at Heineken, he invited me on Sunday and to be in the Heineken suite, which was terrific. And on Thursday, on a whim, I was like, dude, if somehow you get a cancellation for tomorrow night, somehow. And he responded to me, LOL, okay. And then Friday afternoon comes and he hits me and he's like, I got two. And I
so this guy has nowhere near the juice of the NBA assistant commissioner.
Well, wait, hold on one second. First of all, no, that's probably a tough, that would probably be tough. I mean, he does a great job, I'm sure, with Heineken. It's not the same as being the deputy commissioner of the NBA. But no, the suite that he gets me into is tremendous. It's just that these seats that he found for me just got me in the building. Here's Serena. Could she change her mind about retiring?
I've come a long way since last year at Wimbledon, you know, just not sure if that was my last moment or not. And making it a different moment, I think, is much better. Yeah, and it takes a lot of work to get here. Clearly, I'm still capable, but it takes a lot more than that. I'm ready to, like, be a mom and explore a different version of Serena. And technically in the world, I'm still super young, so I want to, like, have a little bit of a life while I'm still walking.
She'll play again.
You think she's playing?
Oh, yeah. I would bet my significant life savings on it.
My feeling is that she may play another Grand Slam, but I think she will not play the U.S. Open again. I think she could play off the Australian, see how she does, and maybe, like, you know, close out by doing by finishing the French, something like that. But my hunch is that was the last U.S. Open. It was so intense, and also Michael so watched. How about this number, Don? We love to talk numbers on this show.
Sure.
On Friday night, the Serena Williams-Tomjanovich match was the most watched ESPN tennis telecast on record. It peaked at 6.9 million viewers.
Holy crap.
They are going to miss her if it is in fact the end. Although, guys, they're actually getting kind of lucky. They got some interesting stuff going on. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Coco Gauff is playing. She's still playing. And Nick Kyrgios, who's one of the most watched and sort of talked about players in tennis, he beat Medvedev and he plays tonight. So they do have some exciting things going on, but man, you could sense the energy on Sunday while it was fun. It couldn't compare to when she was playing on Friday night. Just couldn't.
Don't worry, she'll be back.
Yeah, I definitely got the same sense as Michael. This is
because she has never come out and said, this is the last match I'll ever play. She didn't say it. She wouldn't say it. She's very strategic and she didn't say it.
Maybe she's just, like, unwilling. She's scared to say it because, like, it's too scary to acknowledge it. But I think there's a chance she just fades out here. You guys could be right. Let me put it this way. Would I be shocked? No. Do I agree with Tom's sentiment earlier that I'm getting Undertaker vibes? Like, she might appear at the next six U.S. Opens? No, I don't think that's the case either. You know, she clearly doesn't have that much gas left in the tank. But pretty cool. Now, you guys see the end of the Florida State game over the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I'm here with my family.
Yeah, I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Don, you were excited about this LSU game. And let's hear the end from, this is from FSU Radio.
Boy, the snap, Ramlett to hold to send it to, free football, snap, spot, blocked! Yeah! 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 No! Knowles win.
So Florida State upsets LSU, who goes to 0-1. That was some of the most obscene steppage of all time. Let's hear the call, though, on LSU radio as well.
The all-important point after in a 24-23 ball game. Here's the snap. Placement down. Kick on the way, and it is blocked, and it hits the crossbar. No good. And Florida State going to survive this one. 24-23.
Now, I made a change in the way I think during my suspension contract negotiation breakdown.
Okay.
I will not criticize the lunatic fringe of college football analysts anymore. If they want to step, let them step. I'm done.
Why
I'm done.
Is college? That's what college is about.
But these are not college kids.
No,
college
but
radio
I'm saying
station,
that they're playing.
Steppage was. I mean, I know it was exciting. Can we hear it one more time, the Florida State one? This is
Roy to snap, Ramlett to hold, to send it to free football. Snap, spot, blocked!
Yeah! It's blocked! It's no good!
Yeah!
Yay!
It's blocked! Shaheen Brown got his man on
football!
See, now the old Michael K, you know, the one before the snafu and the breakdown, that guy should be tased.
Well, right. But here's what I will say. The play-by-play announcers are professionals. But I think a lot of these radio at universities, it's just it's former players.
Yep.
That are just that. I don't know if they want to be broadcasters or want to be professional in outside of the school that they work for. They're just waving the pom-pom and they're cheerleaders, and that's exactly what the radio station wants. That's what the school wants. And I feel bad for the play-by-play guy. He's trying to do a decent call, and these guys are just being yo-yos. But the end of the LSU game, I mean, it goes beyond just a blocked extra point. Did they get a turnover at the one, march 99 yards, get a play out of bounds to get it to two with 1 second left?
Unreal.
And then they score the touchdown. It's going to be one of the most dramatic comebacks because they were down two touchdowns with like 8 minutes to go, or less than that probably, and because that's when I started watching, with about 8.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And then to get the extra punt blocked, and all I kept thinking about was the fake accent and the twirling video with his quarterback. Remember that one?
So you're happy that it took an unbelievable drive that it hurt Brian Kelly more than like a 24-17 loss.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
You're looking for every weekend.
I got no love for that guy.
And or
Notre
family?
Dame for that matter, but you know what? That's what you get.
He did lose his accent. He must have gone to some classes.
He's been working through. Now, I'm told we have some audio from an LSU fan as well.
What that kick he going to do?
That's not. That's
always touchdown.
Did you see this one thing here?
That's not.
Ed Orgeron, the previous coach.
Wrong.
You know how much he got paid to leave?
No.
$17 million. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, when they offered me that, I said, when do you want me to leave and what door do you want me to leave in?
Yeah, I respect it. How can you not respect it? All you can do is respect it.
Let the door hit me where the good Lord split me.
That will do it for ENN on this Tuesday, September 6th. And I did it for my family.
There's no bigger ENN done than the one that follows a breakdown contract snafu.
Yeah.
It was.
And a suspension.
Hits different.
It does hit different. You know, we haven't taken nearly the amount of phone calls we want to because we want to connect with you. We want to touch you.
You missed
1-800-919. You heard me. 1-800-919-3776. We're rolling through. Whatever you want to ask us about, whatever you want to talk about.
Do it.
We're here until 7. Don's best friend takes over after that. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, soon to be Grasa, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.